It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Studying the book of Romans, we're going to start at the first chapter, chapter 1, verse 1. And so please that you open your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, and we'll begin reading with verse 1. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen. And I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to call us, you can call us at 217-847-2717. If you'd like to send us an email, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com. That's parkviewbible@gmail.com. And if you'd like to visit our website, and I sure hope that you do, we have the Constitution, the Plan of Salvation, and many, many studies on there. So please that you would check it out and enjoy it, learn from it, come to know the Lord Jesus through it. And you'll find that at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. And that's parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Romans chapter 1, beginning to read with verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scripture, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe we'll end with that and we'll begin with prayer. Father, we thank and praise you for the day that you have given us. Thank you for the opportunity to proclaim your word on the radio, and I just ask that you will use this ministry to bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ and to grow us and to make us more like you, Father, more like your Son, the Lord Jesus. We're to be godly. And this study in Romans brings us to the point of understanding how to be saved, how to come to know you as your Son, as our Savior, and then to know you as our Father. And it also will give us great direction and great leadership in our walk with you. So please, touch every heart. Bring them to salvation today. I hope that this study will convict the hearts, show them their sin, and they'll come by faith and trust in your Son, the only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So please, today, make it a glorious day. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we continue the study, and we keep coming back to that first verse, and we looked last time we were together concerning the Apostle Paul and who he was and where he come from and his opportunity of salvation that came on the road to Damascus and how he accepted that, and then he accepted his call. And so we could say that the Lord, that Paul is the Lord's slave. Now, you think of that being something that's burdensome, but it's not, because Paul is serving with great joy, a preacher of the great gospel of God, the gospel, God's good news to hell-deserving sinners. And Paul loved to preach the gospel to all, to his brothers, and sisters, it being Jews, and also to those, because he was a Roman citizen, as we've talked about, and he had such a desire to go to Rome. And we find that there's questions whether the Lord's going to allow him to go to Rome, but he has such a desire that he would be able to come to Rome. You know, it took a while for Paul to find his place in life. Many people live all of their life, and sad to say, die and leave this life without finding their place in life. And the only way you can truly find your place in life, and that is to be born again, to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That is how Paul found his place in life. On the road to Damascus, his life had changed. Now, prior to that, he thought everything was just fine. He had really accomplished at a young age what most people could never accomplish in their lifetime. The education that he received, the position that he had, everything about him. But he found Jesus, and when he found Jesus, he realized he had nothing before. And for the first time, he truly was alive. Because you see, without the Lord Jesus, we're dead in our trespasses and sins. We need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus. We need to trust in him, have a personal relationship with Jesus. And so please, again, Paul found his place in life. But it takes most of our life, and sometimes people never find it again. But I hope that you find your place in life. And the only way you can do that is to be born again. Born again. I don't have any idea where God's going to lead you or what he's going to do with you, but it's going to be great, and it's going to be a blessing, and it's going to be a joy. And again, to be the Lord's servant, to be a slave unto the Lord, is not a burden. It is a joy. It is a great, great joy. And so please that you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We see Paul's life as he records it in Timothy. And so let's turn, and we're going to find that if you're a newcomer to the program, you may not realize how much we're going to use the Word of God, but Scripture confirms Scripture, so we're going to be all through this precious Word today, as we are many times, and so please that you'll enjoy it. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 6 through 8. And this gives us just a little bit of an explanation, a definition, an understanding of what Paul sought and received because of his service unto the Lord. And we're going to read again 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. We need to understand that there are crowns that are going to be given to the faithful. And Paul was a faithful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for that, he was ready to leave this earth. God wasn't ready for him to go. It's God's time. There's a time to be born and a time to die. But Paul had run his race, and that's what we're doing. We're going through this world, going through our life, and we're to be serving, and we have talents, we have abilities that are special to us that we need to be using. And every one of us are given a gift to honor and glorify our God with. And so we need to be doing that. We need to be serving him. We need to be praising him. And so please that you see, and I want you to take a look at the other end of Paul's life, because here he's really talking about the beginning of his life, as he kind of gives a little testimony here in introduction. But here in 2 Timothy, why we find that he has fought the good fight, finished my course, kept the faith. What a testimony. Paul, as a soldier, Paul is a fighter for the faith, a fighter for the faith. We look at the second verse, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scripture. Promises made of old is revealed in the gospel. the promise of God, that God made, and that we're going to read here, 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Of which, back at the 10th verse of this 1 Peter chapter 1, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ. You see, the prophets spoke of it. They spoke of a time that was coming. Well, that time has come. And so when we see this here in verse 2, what he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, they knew it was coming. They knew in the Old Testament that the only way to be saved is by faith. Yes, they had to bring the offerings, the sacrifices, the burnt offerings. They had to bring those unto the altar of God, and they would be offered on their behalf. Up until the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again, all sins were covered. But when Jesus completed that work on the cross of Calvary, the sins, all the sins of all the Old Testament saints were taken away, as is ours immediately upon coming by faith to the Lord Jesus. And so when we look back here, we find that it was said according to Peter. It tells us very clearly that promise was made, and that promise was made back in the beginning of Genesis. When those coats of skins were put upon Adam and Eve, that promise was put into place, and it never left. Saved by faith. They had to believe that there was a coming Messiah, and when the Messiah would come, that their sins would be taken away. And they needed to believe that, even in the Old Testament times, some 4,000 years before this. And it was always were saved by faith. Saved by faith. What a beautiful scripture there to tie all the scriptures in. Now verse 3, concerning his Son. That's what these holy scriptures were talking about. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Now catch that, according to the flesh. We talk about having a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. The reason we do is because Jesus is the heart. Jesus is the center of the gospel. He is the gospel. He is the gospel. We don't come and worship a religion. We come and worship a living person, and that person is Jesus Christ. You need to come by faith to Jesus. You need to trust in the Lord Jesus. Jesus, according to the flesh, came through the seed of David. He was a descendant of David according to the flesh. According to the flesh. He was proven to be the sons of God with power. This proof comes by the resurrection of the dead. Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, has accomplished this work. This work is not just a job, but it's about a person. And that's when Paul was taking out the gospel. He was talking about a person. When we teach Sunday school, when we preach the message, when we have Bible studies, we need to realize that we're talking about a living person, Jesus Christ. So often it becomes just a job, and it should never, ever become. When it becomes just a job or just a religion, then it's not long that you wear out and the joy is gone and the power is gone. But if you recognize that you are fellowshipping, you're growing, you're learning more about the person of Jesus Christ, that strength and that power will always come. Because you see, Jesus is the heart and the soul. He is the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It's all about the person, Jesus Christ. It's all about Him. Romans tells us that He was the Holy One, the Sinless One, the Son of David in the flesh, the Son of God in the Spirit. Okay? Don't miss that. The Son of David in the flesh, but the Son of God in the Spirit. God in the flesh. That's our Savior, the person Jesus Christ. Through the seed of David is the flesh, but the Son of God in the Spirit. The resurrection from the dead shows us publicly that He was God's only begotten Son. None other has ever been raised from the dead. Jesus came into this world to taste death for every man. Jesus conquered hell and death and the grave, was victorious over all the power of darkness and hell. Verse 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power, a victory greater than any other, with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. This victory, this great victory, was the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. This proved He was God. This proved He was holy. This proves that He is sinless. The message of the resurrection of Jesus changed the world in His day, and it still divides men today. Changed the world forever. Changed the world that day. And it divided men that day, and it divides men today. The Jews, unbelieving Jews, those that chose not to come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, they had advertised, they had said that the disciples have stolen the body away. Well, we know, according to the Scripture, that that is not true, because He was seen by many, many after the resurrection. They paid the guards off to say that He's not risen from the dead. I am a believer in Jesus Christ. I know He has risen from the dead. He's in my heart today. He is at the right hand of God the Father right now. The disciples they witnessed, they testified that Jesus is risen from the dead. But the unbelievers chose not to believe. And for that, they went to the place of torment when they died, awaiting their final judgment, which will be they'll be cast into the lake of fire. The resurrection of Jesus Christ teaches us that death is not the end. Death is an enemy, but to the believer, death is a way out of this world. And it's a way on to the next, to a place of peace and joy, to a place where Jesus is, to His presence. When He becomes your Savior, He also becomes, through the person of the Holy Spirit, he becomes the greatest teacher you'll ever have. I love to teach the Word of God, but my teacher is the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit teaches and instructs me of His Word, then I am able to share that with others. But I'm not the only one. Every believer possesses the Holy Spirit. Every believer has that teacher, and so that is where the fellowship comes in of believers. Because when we come together and study the Word of God, we're of like mind, because we're all of the same Spirit. You can't find that anyplace else. We have such a sweet, sweet Spirit here at the church. And the reason is because they're believers. And they love the Word of God. And we study the Word of God and grow in the Word of God. And we are one. We're one. We're unified. We have that unity because of the Spirit of God. He is the greatest teacher. Once again, I'm going to read verse 4. We'll continue as we finish up verse 4 and then get on to verse 5. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection empowered the disciples. The resurrection empowers us. If Jesus would have just died on the cross and that would have been it, the Scripture is very clear that if He had not risen from the dead, there is no forgiveness of sins. Jesus needed to be raised from the dead. That shows us He is God. The disciples went from the flesh being in despair as they watched Him die on the cross to a great power as they went out and preached when they realized that Jesus was alive. They have, as preachers of the gospel, they were burned to the stake, they were thrown to the lions, they were tortured, beaten. They gave all. They gave all of their life, every bit of it, every breath of their life, all the way to death, and had a joy in doing it. And Paul's testimony says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." That's the way we're to live. And then it continues here in the 5th verse, "By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations in His name." Grace and apostleship. Grace, the favor of God to my own soul, the favor of God that Paul experienced on the road to Damascus. His personal, he's talking personally, by whom we have received. That brings you and me, if you're born again, if you know Jesus as your Savior. But that's what it meant to him. That's what it meant to him. It's a personal matter. And this apostleship is an office that he was given. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations. Paul felt here that he was given very special favor. And he took that very seriously. And he realized there's only one way that he received it, not because of someone that he was, but because of obedience of the faith. Obedience of the faith. It is all about faith. It's about faith to me. It's about faith to you, for your salvation, for your service. It's about faith to Paul. And he has such a desire to go to Rome. And when he speaks and talks and tells this letter to those in Rome, he has such a desire that they hear it, that they know his heart. the sixth verse, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. And then it says in verse 7, to all that be in Rome. The called of Jesus Christ. The world is not seeking Christ. To be a part of the called is to come by faith to Jesus Christ. God in His foreknowledge looked down through time and He knew who was going to come by faith and who wasn't. He isn't the one that chooses, okay, he can be saved and she can be saved, but he can't. No, it's the whosoever will. You see, Christ came into this world to seek the lost and to save them. And the saved is the whosoever. Whosoever will come. Christ came to save all who will believe. The called of Jesus Christ speaks to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. The called. The called. It all begins by faith. There's not just a chosen few. It's not a certain church. It is those that have come by faith to Jesus and accepted Him by faith and asked them into His heart to save them. That's who we're talking about here. The called. The called. You become the called when you come by faith. Beloved of God, the seventh verse says, to all that are in Rome, beloved of God, not called to be saints, called, I'm sorry, the beloved of God is the beginning of that. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, the elect of God, holy and beloved. And we're going to go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. It just continues. Above all these things, put on charity or love, which is the bond of perfectness. It's just such a joy to look to the Word of God and enjoy the Word of God. But it can't be enjoyed. You can be a student of the Bible. You can know every verse of Scripture. You can quote every verse of Scripture. But unless you are born again, come by faith. Nicodemus found that out when he came to the Lord Jesus. And he said, I know you're a teacher come from God. And he said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And so it can't be any clearer than that. And yet today people feel like they're born again through their baptism. They're born again through church membership. No. It is a personal relationship. It's something that you do personally. You invite Jesus Christ to come into your heart to save you. We have below that called of saints, called to be saints. Now, that to be is been added by the translators. We become saints the second we believe in Jesus Christ. We are saved by His shed blood. No salvation apart from His cleansing blood. And we know that according to Romans chapter 5, verse 1. And that'll be the last scripture that we're going to get to go through. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. I want you to have peace with God. My dear friend, I'm so glad you joined me today, but I've got this special question that I always ask, and that is, what are you going to do about Jesus?